You guys can have a seat. Well, how y'all doing today, Resonance? Yeah? How are you? How are you? I really want to know. A few people responded, but I'm gonna count to three. And if you could pick one word that sums up just how you're doing today, whether it's this or this, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down. Just yell that word out, okay? So I'm gonna count to three, say how you're doing, you just yell that word out, all right? One, two, three. How you doing, Resonance? All right, I couldn't quite make out how each individual one of you are doing. Weird, all right. Somebody's feeling weird over there, all right. That's all right. Isn't that the question that we ask when we don't know what to ask? And I would just advise you, one place not to ask that is at a funeral. I made that mistake one time, just walked in, saw somebody, said, hey, how you doing? Boom. You know, insert foot here, you know, right in my mouth. But that's the question we ask. And a lot of times we may get a variety of answers. I think a lot of times, fine, doing good, you know. But there's one answer that I've been noticing that I'm getting a lot, and it's the answer that I'm giving a lot, especially in the last like 8 to 10 years of my life. And it's this one four-letter word, and it's not fine. You know what it is? Busy. Busy. How you doing? Oh, you know, busy. I'm busy. Everybody's busy these days. Have y'all noticed that? I'm a pastor, and can I tell you something about pastors? Pastors are busy. I get stressed out when I hang out with pastors, all right? Because they're busy. Like they work the 40-hour work week, working on, you know, leadership or staff decisions or planning for the future or writing sermons. And then they meet with people outside of those times and try to help people through life. And then they've got families and they got stuff to do. And then they got weddings and funerals to do. And I meet with some of my pastor friends and like, oh, I've done three funerals in the last 2 months. And, you know, just all this stuff. And it's just one thing after another. And I get stressed out hanging out with pastors because they're so daggone busy. And what I've learned is you all are no different. You all are just as busy as I am. Everybody's busy. We work hard. But we play even harder. Like even on our time off, we run around doing things to fill up that time. And we're just busy, busy, busy. We take vacations and then we get back and we're like, man, I'm worn out. I need a vacation from my vacation. Anybody ever felt that way? We're just busy, 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 busy. And busy is normal. It's what's normal in our culture. But you know what I've learned about the normalness of busyness in our culture? It's not working. Normal is not working. Busy is not working. The ancient philosopher Socrates, or Socrates, as I like to call him, he once said, beware of the barrenness of a busy life. Being busy is dangerous for four reasons that I've noticed in my life. The busier I am, the hungrier I am. I'm just hungry because we're so busy, we don't even have time to eat. Someone in our culture invented this thing called fast food so that we could drive through. There's even a drive through now. You don't have to go in the building. How many of you get upset like me when you have to wait for like 5 minutes in line? It's like, I just want to drive through and throw my money and they throw the food. And you ever been so busy, you don't even have time to sit there and like sort out like who got this or that. Like you're like, we got to go. And you're just like throwing burgers back at the kids. Anybody been there? We're just busy. If you haven't been there, maybe some of you like Pop-Tarts. Anybody like Pop-Tarts in here? I think we got, this is my favorite flavor, all right? I love the brown sugar cinnamon. Any brown sugar cinnamon fans in here? Yeah. Here's the thing about Pop-Tarts. This is a true story. How long y'all think it takes to like pop a tart, right? Like it takes about 30 seconds. The instructions say put it on the lowest, quickest setting on your toaster device and it'll pop the tart in about 30 seconds, right? Did you know there's a quicker way to get your, to get that goodness in you? You know what I'm saying? There's actually microwave instructions on the pop. This is true story. You can buy Pop-Tarts today, buy them for the food pantry and bring them back and read this on the side. I'm telling you, this is step one. Remove pastry from pouch. Place on a microwave safe bowl or dish. Step two, microwave on high for 3 seconds. Three, cool briefly before handling. We ain't got time for this thing to cool. I had to microwave it. I couldn't wait 30 seconds to get that goodness in me. That, listen, if you got to microwave your Pop-Tart, you're booking yourself too tight, all right? 30 seconds. I mean, the busier, we're so busy, we don't even have time to eat. There's something wrong with that. And so when the busier you are, the hungrier. We're hungry. We're just hungry, all right? The second one is closely related. The busier we are, we're just angry, all right? Now, some of you get angry because you're hungry. It's called hangry, all right? It's like, get in the car, let's go to lunch, church is over. It's like, calm down, what's wrong? You know, you've seen those commercials, you're not yourself when you're hungry or whatever. And some of you are hangry. But listen, you know what I've noticed in my life? You know when my fuse is the shortest? When I'm in a hurry, right? You're trying to get the kids out the door of school and come on, come on. And I drive my kids to school a couple days a week. And so I'm like, come on, come on, let's go. And if they make a mistake, if they forget the lunchbox in the car or in the house, or if they drop something, I mean, I'm just so quick to just snap when we're in a hurry because my fuse is, ain't nobody got time for that, you know? Forgot your lunchbox in it, go get it, boy, you know? Go get your lunchbox, right? So our fuse is shorter when we're busy, when we're in a hurry, we're hungry, we're angry, we're lonely. Third thing, we're lonely when we're busy. It's funny, we live in a world that is more connected than ever, and yet we're more isolated than ever. Because now we don't even have to get together, right? And so our relationships are 1,000 miles wide, but about 1 inch deep. Right? I got like over 1,000 friends on Facebook. Yippee, skippy me. I don't even know half of these people, right? I'm trying to be nice, you know? It's like, friend, I don't even know this person. I guess we'll be friends, you know? Sure. Right? And so we're lonelier because we're busier. And finally, when we're busy, we're just tired. We're just tired. Anybody ever like stay up late and get up early just because you had to get stuff done and you're just worn out because you're so daggone busy? Man, if you ain't got time to sleep, you're just too busy. And so we're hungry and we're angry and we're lonely and we're tired. Did you know in modern psychology, there's an acronym they use to help counsel addicts against the temptation of relapsing? It's this acronym HALT, H-A-L-T. This is a true thing. They've done studies, and after counseling people for many years, they've come up with this acronym. Real psychologists really use this. They say you're more susceptible to relapsing as an addict when you're hungry, when you're angry, when you're lonely, and when you're tired. You're more susceptible to relapse. In the Christian realm, we would say you're more susceptible to temptation when you're hungry, when you're angry, when you're lonely, when you're tired. Think about Jesus in the wilderness when Satan tempted him. He was three of those four things. He was hungry, he was lonely, and he was tired. And that's when Satan chose to tempt him. And Jesus resisted him, and it says the devil left, and the devil left until a more opportune time, maybe when he was 4 out of 4. And you've experienced this. We've all experienced this. We're more susceptible to temptation when we're hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. And the crazy thing about all four of those things, and the thing that's so dangerous about busyness, is busyness creates all four of those things. We're hungry, angry, lonely, and tired. Beware of the barrenness of a busy life. And we live in a busy culture. Busy is normal, but normal isn't working. It's no wonder that I once heard an old pastor say that if the devil can't make you bad, it'll just make you busy. And so normal's not working. And we're called to be weird and different than our culture. And I want to share with you some words that Jesus said that were very, very weird. Very weird. And they're weird in our culture, but man, we've got to get this down. If we're going to live healthy spiritual lives and just healthy lives in general, the way God calls us to. He says this in Matthew 11, verses 28 and 29. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." You know, when it comes to being tired, we can be tired physically. Maybe you've heard somebody say, "Man, I'm just bone tired. You know, you ever felt that way? Like you're just aching. You're so tired. You're bone tired. But you know, there's a tiredness, a weariness that goes beyond bone tired. It's being soul tired. Being soul tired. And Jesus says, "I want to give you rest," and it's rest at the deepest level. It's a soul rest. And when you find this soul rest that Jesus speaks of, man, it gives you, it so refreshes you that it just overflows into every area of your life. You find rest for your soul, but man, you find rest emotionally in your heart. Your heart is at peace. You just find rest in your heart. You find rest in your mind. You're not worried about everything. And you find rest physically for your body. You're just at rest. You're at peace. And so the question is, how do we come to Jesus? How do we find Jesus wherever he's calling us to come to find this deep soul rest? And I think the reason that so many people miss it and can't find it is because you got to go in the exact opposite order. To get to the soul rest, you got to start with body rest. And then rest your mind. And then rest your heart, your emotions. And you'll find rest for your soul. You'll find Jesus there speaking rest for your soul, the very deepest kind of rest. And so what I want to do today is just kind of show you how to do that. And so that you can truly find rest in a culture that is so restless. And the first thing is you got to rest your body. You got to rest your body. In Mark 6, verses 30 through 32, Jesus had sent his disciples out to go preach and teach on their own. Okay, two by two, they went out like, you know, Noah in the ark and the animals two by two. Well, Jesus sent his disciples out two by two to go preach and teach. And Jesus went off by himself preaching and teaching. And then in Mark 6, they all come back. And they're excited because they've been very successful. Okay, they've done what he said to do. They've preached, they've teached, they've healed people, they've driven out demons. And they're just blown away that they can do these things. They're like, "It works. This faith in Jesus stuff works. Wow." And they're excited, but it's been a long time. They're tired. And so this is what happens in Mark 6, verse 30 and 31. It says, the apostles get back. They gather around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Now listen to this next part. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, now just hold that up there, this slide here. They didn't even have a chance to eat because so many people were coming and going. Now, this story is one of the many reasons that I love the Bible, because I hear in our culture sometimes people are like, "Oh, the Bible's outdated. It's irrelevant. You know, it was so long ago. Culture was so different. How could that possibly apply to us today?" The Bible is so relevant. I mean, listen to how relevant this is. Jesus knows what it's like to be so busy. There's so many people coming and going that you don't even have time to eat. Right? Some of you know what that's like. Any of you with teenagers knows what that's like, right? So many people coming and going. I mean, when's the last time you sat down and had a family meal together? You don't have time to eat. And so Jesus says to them, What would we expect him to say? You better pop that tart in the microwave and eat it on the run, because we got to go, right? The ministry's successful. We got to keep busy. We got to keep rolling. We got to keep going. We got to keep moving. We got to reach more people. We got to do more. We got to run, 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 run. You thought that was cool. Wait till you see what's next. Wait till we reach the next level in our ministry and we reach even more people. It's going to be amazing. Is that what he says? No, listen to what he says next. This is what he says to them. Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest. So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. And Jesus is just speaking of resting physically. Resting physically. They've been very successful. Things have went well, but they're so busy. Jesus is like, listen, you guys need some rest. Let's get away. And so he gets them away so that they can rest. I think one of the reasons that we don't take time off and we don't slow down and have a day where we just do absolutely nothing, or maybe even time every day where we just chill out and do nothing. I know for me, one of the reasons I struggle with that is because I'm afraid I won't get stuff done. Like, I want to accomplish more. I want to do more. I'm an accomplisher. I took the StrengthsFinder test, if you know what that is. And my number one thing was accomplisher. Like, I want to accomplish stuff. That's why, like, on my rest days, Saturdays, when I'm supposed to do nothing, I'm like, you know what? I think I might wake up and go run 20 miles today. Why? Because I want to feel like I did something today, something that mattered, you know? And, like, that's just, some of y'all are like, that's crazy. And it is kind of crazy. But I want to accomplish stuff. And I'm afraid if I take too much time off, I won't get stuff done. But did you know the Bible, Jesus, and science actually all say the exact opposite? That if you work, 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 and never take time off, you will actually be less productive and accomplish less than if you take some time and rest. God knew this. This is why Jesus said, let's get away and just rest physically, because he designed us that way. You know what's amazing about your body is about every 12 hours or so, you just feel like you need a long nap, like a nap that lasts about 8 hours. And it just happens to coincide with light and dark and how God made the world to work. Isn't that amazing? You can get into the science. It's called circadian rhythms. And that's why staying up late and looking at your iPhone makes you not be able to go to sleep, because your eyes think it's daylight out and your body's saying, stay awake, stay awake, stay awake, right? And so you're actually designed to sleep or rest every single day. You know, in Genesis 1, when God is creating the world, you'll notice there's this weird phraseology, if I can use that word. I think I just made that word up. You can write that down and tweet that. There's this phraseology in Genesis 1 that says God made the first day, the second day, the third day. But you'll notice the way it's phrased is there was evening and there was morning the first day. And then he creates a bunch of stuff. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. The ancient Jewish people actually believed the day started at sundown. So as soon as the sun goes down, boom, it's the next day. Here's what's amazing about that. We are created to start with rest, to start our days with rest. We are created to work from rest. People were created on the sixth day, weren't we? And so imagine you've just come alive. You're like, amazing. Wow, this is amazing. And then the sun goes down. Oh, seventh day. And you're like, oh, I have to lay down and go to sleep now. Okay. And then you get up and you're like, oh, first day, you know, getting to do whatever God wants me to do. And oh, I'm excited. And what are we going to do today, God? What's it going to be? We're going to name some animals. We're going to tend the garden. What are we going to do? And God's like, you know, today, the seventh day, we're just going to chill. We're going to do absolutely nothing. The seventh day. We're created to work from a place of rest. It's funny, if you continue to read the little story in Mark 6 that I just read to you, they go to a solitary place and they're in a boat by themselves with Jesus. They're kind of relaxing. But it says they get to the other side and there's crowds of people. And it says Jesus has compassion on them. You know, he's wanting to get away. He's like, oh, crowds of people. All right, let's help them. and he tells the disciples to feed them. The disciples are like, you better send these people away. Where are they going to get food? And Jesus is like, you feed them. And they're just like, oh, we just got back. I thought we were supposed to rest, you know? And then Jesus says this. He says, what do you have? Bring it to me. And they say, we just got this little kid's lunch, you know, that we were going to steal and eat ourselves. But, you know, that's all we got, you know? And Jesus goes, tell everybody to sit down. Divide them up in groups of 50. Here, here, here. Thank you, God, for this food. And they feed everyone. What do we learn from that? There's a way of working from a place of rest. And it's found when you bring your work to Jesus. You got all these problems and you're all worried about them and you're stressing out and your work overwhelms you. Have you ever tried bringing it to Jesus? Jesus, I don't have enough to get all this work done. He goes, bring it to me. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. Physical rest is so important. God, as I said, created the seventh day and he rested himself. Now think about that. It says God rested from all his work. Why would God himself, God Almighty, the being in the universe that doesn't have to rest, why would he rest? Did he do it because he was worn out and tired? No. He did it for us. In fact, Jesus explained this when he was on this planet. He said that the Sabbath was not, or men were not created for the Sabbath day, the day of rest, but the Sabbath day was created for man. See, we get it backwards sometimes, and people think that God makes all these rules and tells us what to do because God wants us to obey. Like people were created for the law, right? And Jesus is like, no, that's crazy. The law was created to help people. And God set apart this whole day once a week, a weekly rhythm. And so we see a daily rhythm where we need to rest daily, get some sleep. And we see a weekly rhythm where we just need a whole day where we're just not supposed to do anything. And Jesus said, God set that example for us because he takes rest seriously and he knew how he created us. He knew that we needed physical rest. And so he made a law. It's one of the big 10, the number 4 law in God's book, right after like, you know, don't worship any other gods, don't have any idols, these really big things concerning God himself. And then he says, number 4, honor the Sabbath and keep it holy. Holy just means set apart and special. In other words, don't do anything. The law was don't do any regular work. Don't answer emails, right? Don't do anything. In fact, God explained this and told Moses to write this down. He said, don't even light a fire and cook food. I want you to have this preparation day the day before where you cook a bunch of food enough for the next day. And then you're going to have leftovers on the Sabbath, okay? God created leftovers. Did you know that? Some of you men are like, why did he do that? And all you ladies who cook for your family is like, I know why. Because it's a lot of work, right? And some of the men in here are like, I cook. It's not that much work. That's because you throw a hot dog in the microwave, all right? That's not real food, okay? If you really cook, it takes a lot of work. They weren't even allowed to light a fire. Because it was work. And God wasn't trying to make life more difficult for them. He was trying to make life better. And he just knows that we have this propensity to want to achieve and want to get stuff done. Did you know science has shown that if you don't get enough sleep every night, you're more susceptible to illness? Did you know science has shown that when we're kids and we're growing physically, the time that we grow is while we're asleep? Did you know there's this principle that science has proven to be true called the supercompensation principle? That when you, like those of you who like to work out like I do, you know, when you work out, there's actually this thing called overtraining, where if you work out too much, you actually won't get stronger because your body doesn't have time to rest. And they've shown that it's during the rest periods that your body heals itself and you actually heal stronger. And so when you rest appropriately, when you're on a training program, you will actually get stronger and stronger and stronger by doing less than people who overtrain. Physical rest is so, so important. And God knew that. And so that's why he's like, listen, You've got to rest physically. Come away with me by yourselves to a solitary place, Jesus said, and just get some rest. Just get some rest. Maybe some of you in here today, I know we're not under law, we're under grace. And so we don't take the Sabbath super seriously because we're like, well, that's the Old Testament. We're not under law. We're under grace. I don't have to take Sunday off. I don't have to take Saturday off. I can work and make more money and I don't have to. You don't have to. But there's this principle that God's saying, listen, it's going to be way better for you if you do. And so maybe that's what you need to do. And maybe that's your takeaway today is you need to set a day where you're like, I'm not going to do anything. Our day is Saturday. All right. Can I just tell you, Sunday is not a Sabbath for me. All right. I get up super early and this takes a lot of energy. And then I usually meet with people after church and I'm just worn out. And so Saturday is like family day. Spend time with family. Do absolutely nothing. It's glorious. We try not to go shopping on Saturday. It's not a rule. We just try not to. We just try to stay home and just do nothing. And it's glorious. Sometimes people ask us to do things on Saturday or maybe on another day that we've set aside time to rest. And we're like, oh, we're busy. We got something. You know what we got? We got doing nothing. And it's in the schedule. Okay. And I won't apologize for that. All right. Some of you would be a lot healthier if you would do that and take that seriously. Schedule rest if you have to. All right. If you've ever done this, if you've ever practiced Sabbath, if you've ever practiced physical rest, time when you do nothing, what you'll notice is once your body is at rest, your mind is going 1,000 miles an hour. And so secondly, we have to learn how to rest our mind while we're at rest physically. This is why some of you have a hard time going to sleep at night, because you lay your body down and you're like, and your mind's just going 1,000,000 miles an hour. And this is something we struggle with in our culture so much, I think, too, because of this little thing that we all carry around in our pockets. Our minds are just going 1,000,000 miles an hour. And even on days off, we're getting text messages and emails from work. And we see the, if you're like me, you see that little red notification thing. You're like, oh, I just have to see what it is. And you hit it and you're like, no, why did I look? You know, don't look. Maybe you need a no phone zone. All right. A time when you just put this thing down and don't look at it. Because when there's a way of resting physically, but your mind is still going 1,000,000 miles an hour. And can I just tell you, if you're laying in bed and surfing Facebook, your mind is not resting. Your mind is comparing yourself to everyone on there. Your mind is going, man, my life's not as good as them. Man, oh, I need to do that. Oh, let's get on Pinterest. I want to get some ideas for what I'm going to do this week. And you're just, and your mind is not at rest whatsoever. And then you wonder why it's hard to go to sleep. Not to mention the whole circadian rhythm thing going on, right? Do you know Ecclesiastes 12, verse 12 says it this way? It says, of the making of many books, there is no end, and much study wearies the body. This is Solomon, one of the wisest men who've ever lived, the wisest man who ever lived, according to the Bible. Dude wrote a lot of books, wrote a lot of Proverbs and songs, things like that. He studied a lot. And I remember learning this in college and going, this is so true. When you're in college and you study all day and you go, you've sat still all day and you shut the last book and you're like, oh, I am worn out. I am ready for bed, right? Because when your mind is going 1,000,000 miles an hour, it wears you out physically. It is not resting to lay in bed and surf Facebook and to think about 1,000,000 things. You've got to learn to rest your mind, okay? And so everybody repeat after me. Put the phone down. Let's say it together. I think it'll be cathartic for us. Put the phone down. Put the phone down. Slowly back away, okay? It's going to be okay. You need to learn to rest. And you know why I think some people have a really hard time resting mentally? Like sometimes we're good at resting physically. We unplug And then we realize the mind is going a million miles an hour. And so we try to get still in our minds. Maybe we put the phone down and we just unplug. You know why a lot of people, I think, struggle with this? Because when you rest mentally, all of a sudden you become aware of something inside of you. And it's stirring. And it feels weird. You don't like it. It's this thing called your emotions. Like, we're not even aware of it most of the time. But if you unplug physically and you just kind of calm your mind and get away from stuff that stresses you out, all of a sudden you become aware of how you feel. And a lot of people don't feel very good a lot of the time. And I think that's why so many people struggle with, you know, binge watching TV programs or binging on food. Why? Because we want to escape from our emotions. Those things help us escape. Those emotions within us scare us because they're heavy, they're overwhelming, they're stressful. And listen, you've got to learn how to rest your heart. Your heart. You've got to rest your heart, your emotions. It's hard to be happy and to be healthy if you don't feel happy or healthy. Just ask anyone who's ever struggled with chronic depression. If you're not healthy emotionally, you're not healthy. If you're not at rest emotionally, at peace, you're not at rest. It'll cause your mind to worry and stress and think, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? It'll cause you to be worn out physically. You won't be able to sleep. And so we have to learn how to rest emotionally. And there's a couple things that I would say for some of you, and this is for some of you got this one down, you actually don't need to do this. But some of you in the room, if you're kind of a workaholic and you're prone to activity like I am, like I just got to do something, be productive. If you're kind of that person, maybe you just need a hobby. Do something you actually enjoy. Get outside. Breathe the air. It's refreshing. It'll rejuvenate you. Some people are so prone to work and just trying to produce. I think men feel this pressure to just produce and work all the time. And it's not healthy and it's not good. Maybe try a hobby, something you enjoy. But something that Scripture points to and something that definitely rejuvenates me is spending time with other people. Connecting with other people in a significant way. Have you ever had this experience? I was thinking about this. This has happened to my wife and I before, where like you get into an argument on the way to someone's house or maybe on the way to church, you know, and you're just so frustrated with each other. And then you get there and you go and you're like, hey, and then you like, you know, and then you really connect, you know, with these other people and you have a great time and you go back out to the car and you're like, man, what were we even fighting about? I love you, you know, and just all that icky stuff is just gone. And being with other people, people you love and enjoy, people you connect with, it just has this way of just lifting you up, of just raising your emotions. I think sometimes when we're so isolated and alone, we can get so down on ourselves all the time. And then we hang out with other people and maybe you even voice some of those things like, oh, I just feel this, and I feel this, and I feel this, I'm so insecure and I'm so this. And those other people go, what? You're not that. You're not that. Nobody thinks that about you. And other people have a way of seeing the truth, that your emotions get so muddied up sometimes. The Bible says the heart is deceptive above all things. Who can know it? Our hearts deceive us. And sometimes hanging out with other people helps bring that clarity and that truth and encouragement. The Bible says it this way in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. It says, but encourage one another daily. Encourage one another daily, as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. The heart is deceptive. We deceive ourselves into thinking we're messed up. There's something wrong with us. We deceive ourselves into thinking that, you know, everybody hates us or nobody likes us or whatever it is, whatever you struggle with. You're so isolated, you can believe all those things, and it makes your heart hard. And it's just a bunch of mahogany, all right? That's a Christian curse word I made up a few years ago, and I like to say that, but it's just a bunch of mahogany, man. It's just not true. It's just the evil one that is deceiving you. And when you hang out with other people, they just have a way of encouraging you. And notice the Bible says how often we're supposed to do this. Encourage one another daily. Daily. We need to be connecting with people relationally on a daily basis. And I think, again, one of the reasons we struggle with this in our culture is because of these things. We think doing that is connecting with someone. Did you know this is not a connecting device? This is a consumer device. How it's defined, it's a consumer device. We don't connect with other people through this. We consume them. We get on Facebook and we look at the magazine of someone else's life and we consume one another and we compare and it consumes us. And so maybe if you use this thing and called someone, then you might make a connection, right? But even better, put this thing down and spend some time just hanging out with people that you love, people that you enjoy. I'm telling you, it will bring a rest to your heart and to your soul. And this is from someone who needs his solitude. If I spend too much time with people, all right, I get worn out, all right, just like all the other introverts in the room, all right? I'm kind of a weird intro extrovert, all right? I need my solitude. I need time to reflect and recharge by myself. But I'm telling you, hanging out with people you enjoy will just bring so much rest to your heart. And there's a particular group of people that we all need to focus on, and it's this group called our family. I think this video that I want to show you illustrates this pretty well. Check this out, and then we'll continue talking here.
If you could have dinner with anyone, living or dead, who would you choose?
Kylie Minogue.
Oh.
Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, God, I wouldn't have a clue.
I know, straight up. Paul Hogan.
Kim Kardashian.
No.
I'd like to have dinner with Justin Bieber.
What? He's not coming to my house.
No.
I'd have Bob Hawke.
Dave Hughes.
Barry Humphries.
Jimi Hendrix.
People who have made a difference in the world, maybe Nelson Mandela at the dinner table.
I don't know what he's going to say. I'm scared.
If you could have dinner with anyone in the world, who would you choose?
Probably our whole family, like a whole extended family.
Mum and Dad.
Mum and Dad.
Does it have to be a celebrity? Could it be family?
We love it. We talk about how school is. We ask Mum and Dad how their day was.
Family.
Yeah, Mum and Dad.
Family. Who would you guys like to have dinner with?
They just want to be with us while they're eating food, which is pretty cool.
They see us above everything. I'm going to get...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of a message in it for me.
Yeah.
If you're too busy to eat with the people that matter most, maybe you're too busy, you know? I mean, I saw that video and I thought, that'll preach right there. That's a commercial for food. And yet there's so much truth there. And I wonder if your kids would be the same way. I bet they would. I bet they would. And even if they wouldn't say it, they need it. They need it. And so I don't know if you've been like me and you've walked into the restaurant of the family on family date night, right? And they're setting aside that time to really get together, to connect. And they're with each other, but they're not with each other. They're all staring down at their phones, right? And so repeat after me. Put the phone down. Make time for the people that matter most and be with them when you're with them. Really connect with them. And speaking of connecting with your family, did you know you have someone who really wants to connect with you? He's your heavenly father. And listen, you've got to rest your body. You've got to rest your mind. You've got to rest your heart emotionally. But there is a deep, deep soul rest when you set aside time and get away with just you and your heavenly Father. Put the phone down, unless your Bible app's on there, and just get alone with your heavenly Father. And I'm telling you, here's what'll happen when you spend time with him. He will speak to you. And all those deceptive thoughts about yourself and all those deceptive thoughts about your work, how busy you are, how overwhelming. Can I just tell you something? If it's overwhelming to you, if it's worry, if it's stress, it is not the voice of God. He speaks peace. He speaks love. He speaks encouragement. He speaks hope. And when you get alone with him, he will speak those things to you. Hebrews 4 verse 12 says it this way, "For the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit." You could read that soul and heart. "Joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." So maybe the next time you're upset emotionally, and maybe it's your day off, and you've put the phone down and you just realize all this turmoil within you, everything feels overwhelming. Maybe instead of running to some form of escapism, food or entertainment, maybe run to your heavenly Father. Just spend a few minutes with him. And I can't tell you how many times I've done that. And I don't even know. You ever been? My wife and I are very emotional people. We'll say this all the time to each other. We'll look at each other and she can read me like a book. You know, she'll be like, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" And I hate it when she does that, you know, because a lot of times I don't even know. I'm like, "I don't know. I'm just kind of upset. I'm just kind of frustrated. I don't know. I'm just kind of down today. I'm just kind of down. I don't even know why." And I can't tell you how many times I've felt that way. And I sit down with my Bible. I start reading and it's like, whoa. And it just starts dividing my joints and marrow, gets down, penetrates to my soul, dividing even soul and heart. And it judges the thoughts and attitudes. And I'm just like, wow, that's what's wrong with me. And I didn't even know it. And my heavenly Father is speaking to those issues. Why? Because he wants to bring rest to my soul. This is something that Jesus practiced regularly. Mark 1 verse 35 says this. And I just want to point out the context of this is he stayed up very late helping people and healing people. It says after sundown, he healed everyone who was there. And then everybody went to bed. And it says this in verse 35, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed." And so here's what I want you to get out of that. The more busy Jesus was, the more he made it a priority to get alone with his heavenly Father and let his Father speak into his life and speak rest so that he could work from a place of rest and speak peace so that his mind wasn't churning and speak encouragement so his heart wasn't overwhelmed with sorrow. We've got to make it a priority to get alone with our heavenly Father. And so often, the busier we are, the first thing to go is, "Well, I can't get up early. I'm already getting up at 5. And so I guess I'm just not going to do the devotion thing." Hey, get creative. You know, your Bible app's got a cool English guy that'll read to you, you know, on your way to work. You know, do what you got to do. But spend some time. You watch the movie War Room and they make a prayer closet. Make your car your prayer closet. If you have to get up super, super early, do what you've got to do. Set aside time. Spend time with your heavenly Father. And I just want to point out, this is why church is so important. Because when we gather here on a Sunday, we accomplish all of these things. Think about it. It's a day off. We're resting physically. This here is a no phone zone. We're not texting or checking emails, right? Because you could rest. You know, some people say they don't want to come to church because that's my only day off. I want to sleep and sleep in. Okay, so they sleep in. They wake up about the time they would be here. They start consuming, and the mind starts going, and they're not at rest. They're not at rest. But we come in here on our day off. We're resting physically. We put the phone down. We leave it in the pocket. You know, and so our mind is at rest, and we open up our hearts before our Heavenly Father, and someone proclaims His word, and man, He just starts speaking to us, and He just starts speaking to the issues that we deal with in our lives. He starts encouraging our hearts and giving us peace. That's why church is so very important. It's one of the ways that God wants to give us His rest. And I think it's appropriate that the Sabbath day was the seventh day, but Jesus rose again on the first day. And so the Christians started meeting on the first day. And so now in our culture, Sunday is the first day a week, but it's the day that we call Sabbath as Christians. Starting our week from a place of rest, from a place of empowerment. I know you got a lot to do this week, but you've chosen to start it the right way with your Heavenly Father speaking into you, setting aside time so that you can hear His voice. I want to close today just giving you an example of how this works. And I just am going to believe in faith that it's going to work. There's a passage in Hebrews chapter 3 and 4 where he ties in this idea of hearing God's voice and also the Sabbath day and resting in God. And what I want to do is I just want to read this scripture to you. And what I want you to do is just here in a minute, just close your eyes and just listen to the scripture. And as I read the scripture, I'm just going to very simply explain what he's talking about. All right. I'm going to try to keep as much of my thoughts and things out of it. I'm just going to explain what he's talking about. And as you're listening, I just believe that the Holy Spirit is going to bring up things in your life. And he's going to speak to you on maybe some things that we've already talked about, maybe on some other complete issue that we haven't even talked about today. God, the Holy Spirit's just going to bring it up in your heart and your mind. And he's going to tell you to do some things and tell you what to do with that. And so I want you to experience that. And so if you would, just go ahead and close your eyes right now and just open up your heart. Just believe that God's going to speak to you. Hebrews chapter 3, the writer of Hebrews is writing to the church, and he says this. It says, so as the Holy Spirit says, and it's so funny because he quotes at that time what was a 1,000-year-old scripture, one of the Psalms. I think it's interesting that he's saying the Holy Spirit is going to speak to you through this 1,000-year-old scripture. And that's why I have confidence standing up before you every week, because here we are 2,000 years later, and I am and quoting this scripture that's 2,000 years old by a guy who's quoting a 1,000-year-old scripture saying the Holy Spirit is still alive and active and is going to speak to these people through the scripture, and I'm believing the same thing today. So as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the wilderness when your ancestors tested and tried me, though for 40 years they saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are going astray. They're always going astray. And they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. He's talking about when the people were coming out of Egypt and God led them to the foot of Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. And they were supposed to only be there for a year and get trained in the ways and the word of God. And then God was going to lead them into the promised land. And so don't miss this. He's leading them out of slavery into a place of freedom and what he calls this place of rest, this good and abundant land. That's where he's leading them. And so he's telling them some things to do, but they hardened their hearts. They didn't want to do what he said. And because they didn't do what he said, they didn't enter into his rest. And I just want to make this very simple point that whatever God calls you to do in this life, he's trying to get you to a place of rest. He wants you to be at rest, at peace in your heart and in your soul and in your mind and in your body, because he loves you, because he's a good God. He's trying to get you to a place of rest. And yet some of the things he tells us to do are difficult, or they scare us. And yet he wants us to enter a place of rest. And so I just want to ask you very simply, what is he saying to you today? Do you need to set aside a Sabbath day in your schedule? Do you need to set aside time that's a no phone zone, maybe on a daily basis? Do you need to make your family a greater priority? Do you need to make a daily devotion time with God a greater priority? Do you need to come back to him? Have you been running from God for a while? Have you walked away from the faith? Do you need to come back? Or maybe you need to come to him for the first time. You've never surrendered your life to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. What is he saying to you today? Scripture goes on to say this: for somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, that on the seventh day God rested from all his works. And again in the passage above, he says, they shall never enter my rest. Therefore, since it remains for some to enter that rest, and since those who formerly had the good news proclaimed to them did not go in because of their disobedience, God again set a certain day, calling it today. This he did when a long time later he spoke through David, as in the passage already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. What is he saying? He's saying that God set aside this Sabbath day, this day that they were to go to the temple and meet with their heavenly Father. And if they had sinned whatsoever, they were to take a lamb and sacrifice it at the temple to pay for their sins so that their mind, their conscience could be at rest. And what he's saying is, under those laws, they couldn't live up to those laws. And so nobody could live up to it. And so God did something. He sent his son Jesus to pay for our sins on the cross. He fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law so that we're no longer under law, we're under grace. And what he's saying is, if I could sum it up simply, you don't have to wait till Sunday. You don't have to wait till Sabbath day, one day a week where you can meet with God. You can meet with him any day you want, every day. In fact, today is the day. God set a new Sabbath day. It's called today. As Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow has enough trouble of its own. Just worry about today. And yet some people, that's all they do, and they're consumed with worry for today. And God's speaking to you, I have rest for you today and every day. Today, if you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. He's trying to lead you into rest. Scripture goes on to say, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from their works, just as God did from his. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest, so that no one will perish by following their example of disobedience. He says, let us make every effort to enter the rest of God. Whatever God is calling you to do, you've got to trust that he is good, and he's leading you into a place of freedom and into a place of rest. I don't know what he's speaking to you right now, but I believe he is. And whatever it is, you can trust him. You can trust him. Psalm 145 says that the Lord is good and loving towards all he has made. Could I just point out that he made you? And he loves you. And whatever he's speaking to you today, whatever he's calling you to do, you can trust him. His commands are not burdensome. They bring about joy and peace and rest. This passage ends in Hebrews 4, verse 16. He says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us then approach God's throne of grace. Let us then approach God's throne of grace. You know what the writer of Hebrews is saying through the Holy Spirit of Jesus Christ? The Spirit of Christ through the writer of Hebrews is saying, come to me. Come to me. You who are weary and burdened, come to me today. Come to me every day, and I will offer you fresh grace and rest, rest for your souls. If you would just continue with your eyes closed, the way I want to end today is I want to play a very simple song for you. It's a song that I wrote several years ago, and it's a prophetic song, which just means that it's written from God's point of view, from God's point of view speaking to his people. And I just want to play this song over you today. And I just want you to continue in an attitude of prayer and worship, just sitting in your seat, thinking about whatever God's been speaking to you this morning, whatever he's speaking to you. Maybe he's just speaking encouragement. Just receive that. Just worship him and thank him for that. Maybe he's speaking to you something you need to do. And I just want to encourage you to have the courage to do that thing, whatever it is. And as I play this song, there's going to be a couple people on the sides of the room, each side of the room, who are going to be available to pray with you. And listen, God may speak to some of you and ask you to go pray with them. Because just like hanging out with people you love can encourage your heart, when someone else prays for you, there's something special that happens, and God moves and God speaks through them. And so if you feel like God's leading you to get prayer, just take advantage of that. And there's a couple people on the sides of the room. And as I play this song, if you need prayer, if God's leading you to get prayer, just have the courage to go get it. Just stand up and just excuse yourself and go get prayed for. And the rest of us, let's listen to this song and just dwell in God's presence together and think about what he may be calling you to do. Well, come to me, all you weak, all you weary and broken hearts, cast your cares now upon the one who spoke the mountains and breathed the stars. For I am good and loving towards all I have made. I am good and loving towards all I have made. I am good and loving towards all I have made. And I made you, and I love you, and I want you to come to me with all your needs, all your hopes, all your dreams, and lay them down now at my feet, and trust that I will do great things. For I am good and loving towards all I have made. I am good and loving towards all I have made. I am good and loving towards all I have made. And I made you, and I want you. Yeah, I want you to come to me. Come to me, all you lost, Forsake your sin, take up your cross. I paid your ransom with my blood. Oh, come find freedom in my love. I am good and loving towards all I have made. I am good and loving towards all I have made. I am good and loving towards all I have made. And I made you, and I love you. And I want you to come to me. Just feeling led to prophesy over you a little today, that there's some people in here who struggle with insecurity, with how you look. And it consumes you, it wears you out. And God wants you to know today that He made you. And you might not like the way you look. You might think other people might not like the way you look. But He likes the way you look because He made you. There are some people in here today, some men maybe, who feel like they don't have what it takes. Feel like they're always failing. And God wants you to know that you have what it takes. That you're made in His image. That you're more than a conqueror in Christ. And so He just wants you to come to Him and receive that from Him. For God has not given you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-discipline and a sound mind. There's some people here today who struggle mentally. You struggle with having crazy thoughts. And you're wondering, is something wrong with me? Am I messed up? And God wants you to know there's nothing wrong with you. He loves you. He's with you. You're not struggling in any way that anyone else doesn't struggle. The struggle is normal, but He wants to give you a peace that passes understanding. God, I just lift up all these things to you today. I pray that you would speak your love and your hope and your peace over this people. God, I pray that we'd be a church that would set aside time daily to hear from you. And let you speak your love and your peace and your joy over our hearts and over our lives today. God, we love you so much. And God, I'm so thankful for your encouragement and your love. God, may we do everything from a place of rest in our lives. Rest that's only found in you, Jesus. We love you. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Love you, church, and we'll see you back here next Sunday, okay? You all are dismissed. And if you didn't get any canned goods, you can still go to Family Dollar and come back and put them on the table. We'll see you guys next week.